Hello and welcome to another episode of The Beauty Blueprint, a podcast series of interviews with cosmetics industry leaders, brought to you by Cosmetics Business. I'm Lucy, and today I'm joined by Claire Vero, founder of Aurelia Probiotic Skincare. Even though the brand launched just 4 years ago, today it's a high-end retailer staple, stocked on Net-a-Porter, in Liberty and Space NK. Claire was previously marketing director at GlaxoSmithKline, where she worked for 9 years, starting out as a trainee and moving on to help launch the first cervical cancer vaccine in the UK. So here I talk to Claire about how she traded in her career in vaccines to launch a beauty startup, and why today she's more interested in talking about a little character called Horatio the Mole than retailer margins. So Claire, welcome to the Beauty Blueprint. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Really, really happy to be here.
So we've got to start at the beginning. You've spent 9 years at GSK before starting your own brand. What made you want to leave the corporate world?
So I'd spent around 9 years working my way through different departments within GSK. I started on their commercial management graduate trainee scheme, which was like the perfect start straight from university, working in marketing teams, commercial teams, and I loved it. I launched the first cervical cancer vaccine in the UK. I then went on to work in pandemic flu, negotiating contracts with governments to stockpile vaccines in if there'd be an outbreak, which actually ended up being a bit of a depressing role.
Imagine, wow.
But and then I fell into dermatology and realised I just actually loved the connection between people's skin and how they feel. And I worked in the Dermatology Centre of Excellence as a director and loved it. But felt like I was discovering things that I wanted, made me want to go in a different direction and made me want to set my own business up and follow a certain path. And I definitely felt like I'd seen that there was a gap in high science skincare, but that was actually really formulated very naturally, which at the time I really felt like I wanted to do.
And taking it back to when you were about to leave GSK then, what were your colleagues and friends' reactions to you leaving behind what is effectively a really stable job to go and just branch out and do your own thing?
So I think that was one of the biggest challenges I had, because when I started telling people what I was going to do, the response was, you know, premium skincare is very, very competitive. How are you going to launch it off a digital platform? You've got no experience in that side of things. I always worked in pharmaceuticals, you know, which was dealing with dermatologists, never the consumer, and hadn't had a retail background either. And I think it's difficult because some people you meet want to go and do something else and then don't, and other people were kind of go for it. What have you got to lose? And I've decided that I was going to leave and become a consultant and work for a number of different pharma companies to save the money up to set the business up. So I had a kind of two-stage approach, which I think led me in quite nicely. So I was still earning money and I was working at the same time. But what turned out to be a really exhausting 2 years, because I had to start from scratch finding a formulation team that were aligned with what I wanted to do, and at the same time, you know, set a business up whilst paying for everything else. So,
and I can imagine that must have been really hard to explain to people. I mean, what did you say to them to convince them that you were serious and that this is going to work out?
Well, I think the interesting points were that people believed in the concept that I was talking about. So about inflammation being the root cause of accelerated skin aging. It's a challenge for us in terms of pollution and hormones and stress, and I really believe it's one of the root causes of many skin complaints. So they believed in the theory, but what they wanted to see was what was the next steps. And of course I didn't want to say too much about that, because at the same time I had all this ideas and I'd seen the technology and I'd wanted to build this together, but you know, I knew it was going to take me a while to get out there. And actually there were virtually no probiotic skincare companies in the world, certainly none using the science I planned to use. Mm. And there was a little bit of an element of surprise I needed to keep, but I wanted to get, you know, the advice and, you know, from colleagues and friends. So it's that awful moment between knowing what you've got to do and how you're going to do it and trying to convince other people that it's a good idea.
And did you always know that you wanted to launch your own brand? Was that always in the back of your mind?
No, it wasn't actually. I always thought I would have my own business in some guise, but I think I just felt so compelled that I absolutely wanted to do this, and I wanted to use this technology in formulations. And I flew out to Africa and I was looking for fair trade ingredients, working with community farmers, and I started doing a lot of research, and then I felt so committed to it as soon as I got further down the path. It almost seemed like I couldn't not do it.
So it felt like it was just meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for somebody that is also thinking about making a big career change like that, what key nuggets of advice would you give them?
It's going to take twice as long and it's going to cost probably three times the amount you thought.
Okay, so that's a real realist view.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it.
And I think it's all about resilience, that you're not going to have easy days. You're going to have the highs and lows of a journey, which is incredibly exciting. But I think resilience and solution solving is two of the main skills that you need to have. And to hire a good team and rely on people that you have share your vision. So Anna, who I was my PR director from the beginning, even before we launched, we were friends from university. And I remember phoning her up and telling her, you know, this was my idea. And she actually did have experience in beauty, having worked in beauty PR for 10 years.
That's convenient.
And, you know, even Anna said to me, you know, it's very competitive and there's a lot of brands. I was like, I've got to show you the concept and this is what it looks like. And, you know, it wasn't long before Anna left and joined me. So I think it's about surrounding yourself with positive people that share your vision and really focusing on what is the strategy, what's the next step. And I think having a background in business has helped me hugely, because although we're a small startup and we, you know, have the quirkiness of a startup, actually the processes of the business and is very, very much aligned to some of the systems that we used to use at GSK, and certainly like the way we look at the brand essence and the strategies and the critical success factors and the KPIs and all that is measured on a business level.
Absolutely. So how did you then go about deciding your initial strategy for Aurelia?
So we didn't have a huge amount of choice. We knew that we would be in the premium sector because we couldn't help not be with the technology we had and the price that everything was going to cost. But how we actually, our route to market was defined a little bit from me working as a consultant and then working from, say, 7 to 3 a.m. and being available to go and pitch to retailers, which was limiting because I was still funding the business from working as a consultant. And we knew that, you know, on our list of Space NK and Liberties, it would be one of those partners that we would launch with. And I was very, very keen to have a website up and running that could be our shopfront, if you like, so that, you know, if we had 5 minutes of a buyer's time, what would they first discover from Aurelia? So I spent a lot of time getting the website up and running, kind of pretty much single-handed with a designer. And then we had a freelance web developer, and Anna and the four of us were at that stage.
So that's really interesting that your website really was a focal point for you at the very beginning.
Yes.
Was that something that you found quite challenging to set up initially, even with the help from these people? Or
no, I think it takes a long time, and it's, you know, painstaking with font sizes and bits
yeah,
of pieces.
The nitty-gritty was
a real challenge. But I had worked with an amazing marketing company at GSK who became friends, and you know, they did me some favors, and they're called Wallace HCL and they're brilliant, and it helped with having a little bit of help from everything to try and pull it together. And I had created websites before, although not retail based, so I didn't know what I was doing. But you know, it's so much harder when it's on your paying and it's on your own time and budget. But it was important, because as soon as we sent the emails off to the buyers and they clicked on the link and they actually got a complete immersion into the brand, you know, we got meetings very quickly, and then we went to see Sarah Coonan in Liberty's restaurant, and I mean, before the end of the meeting she'd taken the brand.
That's so fantastic, isn't it?
But that was just a little bit after the fact that we'd launched in January, and I think we saw Sarah about March. So, you know, it had taken us a few months to kind of get everything together. But that's not that long, I suppose.
I think that's very impressive. I'm sure most brands can only hope for that.
Yes, I know. I was on a bit of a mission. Kind of thought everything would be done and dusted on day one, then realised it took a little longer.
Well, clearly it paid off. But so did any other brands at the time or industry figures inspire you in any way?
Well, I'd always been inspired by Jo Malone's story. I think that was an incredible journey that she went on. And I think, you know, Jo Malone is an amazing brand. And I'd obviously looked at other facialists and other skincare creators. And you critically look at what people have done and said, what would you have done differently? And that's where I kept on coming back to the fact that, you know, the ingredients could be cleaner and the science could be better. And that's where I got to the point with really feeling like Aurelia is going to fill a gap. And I've been through a journey myself, because at the beginning I thought everybody must want to know exactly how these products work, and it's all a bit elusive. And so I created a science section, and I was busy writing all our studies up and doing what we perhaps would have done to a dermatologist, but, you know, to the consumer. And then later realised that actually people do not want to know that detail.
I was going to say, did the consumers respond well to that? I mean, did people understand what you were saying at that time?
Yes, some absolutely loved it. But they're the minority, because it was a complicated story, and the way our science works isn't, A, it isn't simple, and B, it's totally new to people. So we really, and we didn't have a marketing budget to shape a market, to talk about probiotics in a bigger way. So I think that was a challenge, you know, for the brand. But luckily, you know, we had such support from the press, and people were really interested in it as a concept. And then they'd try the products, and then they'd see they'd work, and then they were less interested. But really? Now I think it becomes more and more important about our science, because as other probiotic brands come out there, you know, I often get asked about the microbiome and bacteria on the skin and how probiotics work. And we work in a very different way. So as more people are talking bacteria in the microbiome, we actually work on the immune triggers within the skin. We haven't got live bacteria in the products, and it doesn't work on the skin surface. We work in what I think is a more advanced way at a cellular level. So it's about educating people on an immune response within the skin is complicated, and then explaining how we work on that. You know, it's also difficult, but I think we're getting there. We've really tried to pare back the story to make it simple, and we've created a really good animation which talks about immune triggers and why your skin gets inflamed, and, you know, it's actually going to be really interesting for people to kind of, you know, have a number of different options to look at in terms of understanding more about our science.
So for those who don't specialise in probiotic skincare specifically, then, can you explain in layman's terms, really simply, what is probiotic skincare?
Yes. So our probiotic skincare, which is different from many others, so I can talk to you about some of the other types in a moment. So we use a glycoprotein from probiotic lactobacillus, and it works almost like a cell signal to help cells communicate better, like a cell signaling molecule. And what it does is it targets the immune response within the skin, so working on immune triggers to regulate. And what I believe that healthy skin needs is not to be inflamed and not to be out of sync with the natural balance. And when that happens and inflammation is there, you end up with DNA repair that happens slower, and the skin just doesn't optimally respond. So our probiotics are working from within to protect, balance, replenish the skin from within.
And where do you source your ingredients from, or how do you go about formulating with probiotic ingredients?
So it was a long, long journey seeing different biotechs, working out the different sciences. And this is where more probiotic companies have come through more recently, where they are focused on the microbiome. So their theory is that you can have an imbalance of bacteria on the skin, and if you flood it with good bacteria, stop the microbes from damaging cells on the skin surface. So with that becomes a different challenge, because products need preservatives to keep them fresh, unless you're going to put a probiotic into an oil-based formula so it doesn't have any oxygen or hydrogen to replicate. But still, then you're really restricted to using one form of formulation, so it has to be in an oil. And I believe that the microbiome is critical, and this acid mantle is absolutely critical to healthy skin. But the way that happens and the way that that can stay in that state is from within, but also how you treat your skin. So no harsh chemicals, too many acid peels, over-exfoliation, SLS, MI, ingredients that are stripping the natural acid mantle and causing what dermatologists call transepidermal water loss. And that all comes from within. So this is the complexities of probiotics in this world, but it's exciting because so many people are wanting to get into the area. More developments happening the whole time as we are developing our science and making sure it triggers in the right way. We synergistically use a protein as well, and a peptide, and we look at how the different balance of these probiotics act in different areas of the skin, whether it's on the fibroblasts or on the you know, cytokines. So, you know, it's all happening in probiotics.
That's so exciting. So in terms of the perfect skincare routine, in your opinion, with probiotics in mind, what would you say is the best way to look after your skin?
So I think we are going to start talking a lot more about routine, because when people come to Aurelia, they buy into the products and they buy across the whole range and they want to know where to start. And, you know, people are really passionate about our products, which is really exciting. But we tend to say to people, start with our Miracle Cleanser. It's a cream-based cleanser, which is great because it doesn't strip the natural barrier of the skin. But at the same time, it's nurturing the skin with probiotics. It's an aloe vera and shea butter base. Then we go to a serum where you're replenishing the skin. It's our most potent probiotic product. It pushes all the probiotics and peptides back into the skin to start this process of balance. And then we would say simply put our day or night moisturiser on. Start with that and you'll see results within 7 days.
Wow, that's a real claim.
Yes. And then, you know, our seropenitol is an amazing product. We've also got an enzymatic mask, which is really amazing. But we say start there, 3 products, and then add into the range as you discover, you know, more about Aurelia. Because one of the other things about Aurelia is that we have essential oils that fragrance the products, and the textures are really beautiful and different. And what we see is that people love the process of the routine, and the mindfulness comes into the brand a lot, which is relatively unusual for a very science-led brand.
Yeah, how did you quite marry those two things together then?
I think it's been a question of the way that we designed the product, or I wanted the product to be perceived, was that you're going to see the results, and it's very science-led, and people are going to have the trust and credibility in that, but that it wasn't going to sit on your shelf and feel like you were on an age prevention treatment plan. It's got to be indulgent, gorgeous textures, amazing essential oils, look and feel gorgeous in your bathroom. And, you know, that you want to buy products like that rather than feel you want to hide them away. So that was a little bit of the premise. But mindfulness has become a bigger part of how we talk about the products, because, you know, people are more and more stressed, they're more stretched. And there's a real role to play with taking a moment for yourself at the end of the day or throughout the day with our botanical essences, just to kind of ground yourself. And we found that lots of our customers absolutely love a nighttime routine or a massage. And our night oil has a mandarin, rose, lavender and neroli in it, which is a gorgeous nighttime blend. And that really works well with an overnight repair oil.
That's brilliant. So taking it back to the business side of things a little bit, Aurelia was recognised, I think, am I right in saying, as one of startups.co.uk's Young Guns Class of 2016?
Yeah.
That's quite a mouthful. But how did that feel? And do you even still think of Aurelia as a startup?
Yes, I do. I do still feel that we're very much in that growth stage. You know, our website grew by 300% last year, and the team, and we're growing out of offices, you know, every 18 months. And the mentality of what we're working on is very decide it, do it, plan it, test it, roll out. And I think we are constantly still testing and trying new things, which is a startup mentality. And now trying to really find our feet in what works well. But it's exciting when you get recognised by wider bodies. I mean, another one that I'm incredibly proud of is the Walpole Brand of Tomorrow, because that recognises luxury brands. And
that must have felt like a real achievement as well, to get that recognition in luxury.
Yes, I think so. And also for skincare, from looking at the fashion brands that they have, we were just really thrilled. And you get a mentor for a year, and mine was Michael Ward from Harrods, MD of Harrods. And, you know, you get to meet other entrepreneurs going through exactly the same teething problems of growth, people, space, you know, expansion, contracts, legal things, you know, everything. Absolutely. That everything that flies at you from a new business perspective. And that's where those networks really help.
Some brands work for years and years or decades to achieve what Aurelia already has. What would you say has been the secret to such rapid growth?
So I think it's all down to having a really, really good product. And our essence is intelligent skincare with integrity. And we will stand by that in the way that everything is formulated. My standards are really high. And then I think we've had some fabulous press at the beginning, which got us on the right footing and allowed us to be discovered, which helps a lot, because that's really, really hard. You can have a lovely product and not get through the door. So all Anna's work in PRs help hugely.
I was going to say, how did you get noticed by those big magazines or consumer titles at the time?
So we went out pretty much every Tuesday and Thursday for our first 6 months, and myself and Anna telling the story of Aurelia and showing press and letting them try it, and really going on a bit of a discovery with them, which worked, you know, incredibly well. And I think then alongside that, it's, you know, great customer service. And when we find a customer and they love our products, we try and nurture them as best we can for the team size that we are. And, you know, sending Christmas presents out to our customers at Christmas and all things that, you know, do cost a lot of money, but, you know, are our way of saying thank you. I mean, there's lots of different things we do, but I think some of those parts have been the way that we've been kind of successful.
So what key decisions have you made, perhaps in the early years of Aurelia, that you're really pleased you did at the time?
I think we've been really select with our distribution. We've never moved from a premium position, and saying no when you are flooded with emails from all kinds of retailers was one of the trickiest things, especially when, you know, it's great to have the revenue to grow the brand further, but actually saying no to what were some very lucrative options.
That must feel really hard at the time to turn people down, but
it is. And I think that has been my number one saviour in just thinking about it again. And I'm a true believer that if it doesn't feel right in your gut, and that if it's not what you think you should be doing, don't do it. And just give it a bit more time. And more often than not, we've given it 3 or 4 months. And we've either gone back to it and said, okay, we might try it, or we've gone back and said no.
And just playing devil's advocate a little bit, what do you think you could have done differently looking back?
So I think getting our website in gear earlier. So when I set it up originally, it was not on a Magento back end. It wasn't a real true trading site. It had a cart on it, but, you know, for our first year, Everything looked fantastic, but there was a lot of scrabbling in the back end and trying to work out why this page wasn't loading this and, you know, how we can actually scale. And I left it too long to get a real expert digitally. And now we've got an e-com director who's just, you know, brilliant because she's done it all before and she knows that our code's right and we got the right security and we're doing this and that.
She's given it the seal of approval.
Yeah, and actually I wish I'd have got some help on that. And I sometimes feel like I can do a lot of things, but actually I'm not the best person to do some of those. And recognising that and thinking, okay, that is where we need to invest and to take a step back in those areas.
That's interesting. So knowing when to relinquish that control.
Yes. Yeah. Which definitely having a baby in the first 2 years of the business helped because I had 4 months out. I think it's a process of just letting people get on with it and then decide what we're going to do for next steps.
So you've been snapped up by some really big premium high-end retailers. How did that happen?
So Net-a-Porter was our first and biggest retailer. We'd gone to see Emma Strenner, who was the Elle Beauty editor at the time, and introduced Aurelia to her. She was actually a friend of Anna's, so really knew a bit about the brand beforehand, and we'd passed some kind of ideas on to her and said, what do you think about this, this and this? And she was hugely helpful to me in the early days. And unbeknown to us, she was going to be moving to Net-a-Porter to
wow,
set up their beauty team. And so I think we had a great meeting when she said, you know, would you mind if I put you forward? And then I think one Friday I had a call from David Olson, the president of Net-a-Porter, saying, I've got four of your products on the desk. I know you're an unknown brand, but we absolutely love it. And can we launch you as one of our first 15?
And I bet you were like, yes,
you yes. can. That was a dancing around the kitchen moment for sure. And then actually when we did launch, they had the live feed on the site, which you could see people buying and also shopping in their basket. And I mean, I literally sat there for probably 2 days running, looking at all the products going in, knowing that we were completely and utterly going to sell out, which we did. Luckily, we had plenty more stock, but at the time. And it was just a real moment for us thinking, gosh, this is an amazing high-end retailer and people are loving it. And I think that was our first kind of few moment.
And today you're not just in the UK, obviously you've expanded. You're in 140 Kick stores?
Yes.
Across Scandinavia?
Yeah, in Sweden, Finland and Norway. And we launched with them earlier this year and we're just launching in Denmark. We've gone into Illum and Magasin and we are in a scattering of boutiques across Europe and the US. And looking now, our expansion is going to be working potentially with distributors or stores directly to expand to more premium retail outlets across the world, as well as the priority, which is absolutely our own website.
So where do you think the probiotic skincare category as a whole is going to move forwards from here?
Well, I think it's interesting because a lot of people that have started talking about probiotics or using probiotics, if they're creating a probiotic range, they're on the natural side. So, and because probiotic is derived from milk, it's actually a natural science, and the trend is moving with natural. So I think we'll always fit on that side, but it's how different brands can differentiate their science and the way it works. Because a brand that's working on the microbiome to balance bacteria, it has a completely different efficacy than how we work, which I'm biased, but I'm going to say is much more advanced when we're triggering a response, you know, within the cells and within the skin. So there's going to be it's going to be a category of probiotics, and then I think people will fall within it on, you know, where they're going to sit. And bigger brands like I don't know, some of the Lauder brands using probiotics in a couple of products, you know, to see the benefits of the calmness and the reducing inflammation. So there's also another element, which is people popping probiotics into some brands, but they're not a probiotic skincare brand and potentially not on that natural side. So it's going to get really interesting, I think, and I'm glad we pioneered it and we're at least kind of 5 years ahead.
Absolutely. Then what's next for Aurelia?
So we often get asked by all our customers about body products, and they buy into our ingredients promise, and you know, we're really strict with what we use, and then they say, well, what should we be using on our bodies, but we still want the essential oils and we still want the luxurious bioorganic botanicals you use. So we've just launched body care on a little bit of a wider scale. We've got a Firm and Replenish body serum that launched last month, which is amazing. And a while ago, a few months ago, we launched our first ever cream to powder deodorant, which is aluminium free. And luckily for us, India Knight wrote about it in the Sunday Times Style, and we sold thousands and thousands overnight. So, and we are really doing well with the body category. For everybody who buys skincare, they're naturally moved across, which has been fantastic. So we're launching a few more body products, and then excitingly in July we're launching Little Aurelia, which is an enchanting bio-organic skincare range for babies and little ones, partly because I had Henry, my little boy, as soon as I kind of set up Aurelia, I fell pregnant and was really looking for luxury baby care that, you know, didn't have any of the nasty ingredients, but actually felt luxurious.
And when you say luxury baby care, I really don't think of that many brands.
Yes.
There's not much out there, is there?
Yeah, and I think I'm hoping that people will love what we've created, because it's taken a good 2 years and a lot of passion, and we're about to launch it on our website in June and in Little Liberty exclusively till the end of the year in July. And we do use essential oils in the products at low levels, but it's a sleep time range, and it's all designed around helping parents get into that routine and for their little children. And it's got some gorgeous products within it, and we've got some lovely characters, and we've written a story and poetry book, and it's a real immersion into a brand.
Whole podcast just on that.
I'd like to, because I can't. We're in the middle of talking about what our retailer margin should be somewhere, and then I'm busy wanting to talk about Horatio the Mole. So we've had a bit of a journey up and down.
So on the note of Horatio the Mole, I think that's brought us to the end of this interview. But thank you so much, Claire.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.